We got through the cold weather very well. A few outages during the very high winds as the northern blew through 2 weeks ago. I always have a few tree limbs blow into things, but they were very scattered. And then after the rolling blackouts, there were about 9 or 10 instances of power fuses up on the lines blowing when everything came on at once. That takes us 10 or 15 minutes to get out there and refuse them. But we did not have any real bad problems during the real cold weather.
And that's attributed to what?
There are really two or three reasons, but they're one. It's our employees at BTU. Our engineers have planned well. Our feeders are capable of carrying the load in the coldest weather. Our linemen and employees in the field are quick to respond and have maintained the system well. And so our system just showed to be in real good shape for this event.
And from the generation standpoint, I've heard stories of frozen water lines and gas lines that weren't working, but seems like all that was not an issue at BTU.
We did not have issues with our generating units. The frozen lines you hear about are sensor lines for the controls. And I think those, the most notable ones that were in the news were on very new units that had not been in real cold weather yet. So you can almost put it this way, they hadn't been stressed yet to know where their weaknesses were. Probably won't ever happen again, but for this time, we did have quite a few new units that saw their first really, really cold weather, and they didn't do well.
So how did BTU help out from a big picture standpoint when all these other plants are having their problems?
We put all the units we could online. We had a couple down for planned maintenance. You have to pick times when you do that. But other units went online, and that helped get the system back together quicker. But we're pretty small fish in this pond, so we did what we could. It would not have been a high percentage of the generation that was needed, but again, we just were in real good shape throughout the 2 weeks of real cold weather.
Generally speaking, how did BTU fare in the business of buying and selling power during the cold snap?
We were in pretty good shape. One of the units that has been publicly noted that went down was our Gibbons Creek coal-fired unit. As you recover from an outage like that, you do have to buy power in a market that's not friendly. There are high prices. So financially, there were some costs well within what we can handle. There'll be no changes in rates. I would say about the size of electric bills, we know from the demand that we saw on our distribution system, there are going to be some really big bills next month. So people should be preparing for that. Just think ahead. When you're in this 70-degree weather we have now, Bill, it's hard to remember that a week ago we were in the teens. And that's Texas weather for you.
From a BTU billing cycle, does everybody get billed at once, or does that depend on one's geography?
We bill 20 cycles for basically 20 working days in the month, and so it is geographic. We move in a kind of a circular pattern around the county. There's not an easy way for me to tell you on the phone how that works, but we do bill in 20 different cycles, so not all the customers are billed on any one day.
Well, some folks' bills then will get the brunt of the entire cold snap, and others, they'll see it a little more even then.
Bill, you're exactly correct. Some of the meters were red right in between the two cold snaps, so you'll get one cold snap on one bill, one on another. Some people will get both of them on one bill. I can't tell you which people in the county will to suffer which way, but in the end, over a couple of month period, it'll all work out.
Well, and it's no different than when there's extreme heat in the summer, which happens a lot more often. And so this is a question you've probably been asked every summer since you've been doing this. How does a customer who's going to have trouble paying an extremely high bill get that taken care of?
We give customers a full billing cycle to pay. So you can actually split your payments into a couple of payments. If you can't make them all in one-month period, you can pay one on time, one half of it, and you can pay the other half later in the month. There will be a late penalty on a piece of it, but it's pretty small. And that's one way to work through the issue. The best way to know, though, given anyone's particular situation, is to check with our customer service representatives in billing, and they will tell that customer, based on their past history, how best to work through it.
Let me follow up on a previous comment you made about the buying and selling of power. Was there enough activity done where BTU might realize some additional revenue from this period it wasn't counting on?
We don't know for certain about the revenues. I don't want to sound vague about this, but there's two processes. One is buying and selling, and later a settlement process. And we have not received the settlement bills for that period. There were hearings this morning at a Senate combined committee in Austin, and there is some thought that there's going to be some changes in the pricing. I don't know if that will happen or not. If changes occur, it's going to change your settlement. So until we see the bills, we can't be really certain exactly how we came out.
And the other thing I've heard from Austin is that there's a possibility that some generators who weren't able to be online might get penalized. And do you think that may have a potential domino effect on BTU, even though you did what you were supposed to?
I don't think that we are going to get fined in any way, nor have a part of a domino effect of fines. It will be precedent setting if they fine the generators, but as you have noted, that has come out in a number of articles, and I'm beginning to believe that that may be the direction one of the or more of the regulators are heading, to find those generators who weren't able to keep their units online. It shouldn't have an effect on BTU in any way. There's also a great deal of activity by the regulators gathering data from us about the things that we did during that period. If a transmission company, and we are a transmission company as well as a generating company, didn't follow the rules, you could be fined there. We've been told that in every respect we followed them, and I believe we did. But there are a couple of opportunities, I guess I would say, to be fined.
But it doesn't sound like it's going to, at least at this stage, impact BTU, which I'm trying to say this as politely as possible because I don't want to say anything negative against other electric providers, but it sounds like BTU did everything it was supposed to, and it paid off in a once-in-a-lifetime weather event.
Well, we've gone back and reviewed the actions that we took. They have been reviewed by some. We have a set of eyes that come in and look at things to see if we've missed something, and they've been reviewed. We believe we followed all the rules, and the regulators have said so far. So we're happy to say at this point we think we did as well as we could. I wished we could have gone through the cold period with no customers having been blacked out. My belief is there's a shared responsibility between ERCOT and some generators. You and I didn't talk about this earlier, but it appears that ERCOT could have had more generators ready for the cold snap, and it's not something you do on your own. This is something you have to be ordered to do. You can't just be a hero out there and put electric generating units on unless you're asked by ERCOT. It looks like they could have brought more on the day ahead. So there's some shared responsibilities in this, and we've yet to see how the regulators will treat that.
Any idea how long it's going to take to get the dust settled and put the things in place. So if this happens again, it's not going to have the dramatic impact it did this time?
I think it's going to be 2 or 3 months to work through them. I'll give you the specific thing that I see as a need. In prior occurrences of very cold weather, we had a different emergency protocol, and in that protocol, we doubled our spinning reserves. That is, the reserves that are ready to go. We've taken that out. I say we. It's an industry disposition to do it, and I believe that's going to be put back in there, so it's an automatic. When temperatures are at a certain level, we will have reserves of a certain level, and that's not in the protocols today. That can be done in a couple of months. It's been talked about now. I think we'll be pretty ready pretty quickly. I think it may be 6 or 8 months before you and I hear about the last of the fallout, fines and that sort of thing.
You had mentioned at the beginning about the things that no energy company has control over, you know, the high winds taking power out and maybe in some cases there were some precipitation things. But when you got the order to start the rolling blackouts, I'm sure that was probably one of the most aggravating things you've had to run across in your career.
Bill, you're correct. It's both aggravating and emotional for all of us. It is the fourth time that we've had rolling blackouts in my career. Three of them were statewide. One was only regional because of a transmission problem just east of us, and that was in 06. But we all dislike very much turning the lights off. We're here to keep them on. So it's very difficult to go through these periods. Very tough on everyone.
You mentioned having to put some units back online that were scheduled for maintenance. Is that going to be an aggravation that you have to do this maintenance later than what you had originally scheduled?
Our maintenance is being completed on schedule, and we're getting them back. The units aren't needed now at all. In fact, half the generation that we had online 2 weeks ago is on right now, so it's not created any problems for us.